The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And extend hospitality to strangers. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, as many of you know, and if there are those of you who don't, I stand before you today as a native Californian. And until last week, I thought I knew something about natural disasters. I've been through the fires that come each summer and fall, the subsequent floods and mudslides of the rainy season that follows, and the earthquakes of varied degrees on the Richter scale. All are part of the California life. However, now I can say, experiencing the natural disaster, and national in some ways, of Hurricane Harvey is completely overwhelming. The magnitude of the rain, winds, and flowing waters is beyond anything I could ever imagine. And even the lifelong Texan whom I talk with can't recall anything quite like this. But they had plenty of stories to tell about the previous hurricanes. Camille, Allison, Rita, Ike, and Katrina. All of them brought devastation and suffering to people and the homes in their wake. The TV and radio news coverage, the social media stories, and the drone video footage of flooded roads, homes, and businesses seemed to be an ending. And as soon as things improve in one neighborhood, another one is flooding. Story after story of families leaving their homes, along with the stories of those who chose to stay. For many, the flooding came so fast, they had no choices. They waded out of their neighborhoods with just the belongings they could carry, wet, weary, and frightened. The suffering and pain in their faces, in their voices, and through their tears is just palpable. So many people feeling helpless and hopeless, waiting for help that could not get to them fast enough. The loss of lives, homes, security, and dignity are heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. So Matthew and I, like thousands of others, watched hours of grim TV coverage, stunned at the images. The rain continued to fall and waters around us rose. With anxiety, we decided, like many others, to leave our home. We headed for the safety and dry ground of Austin. And while in Austin, we watched and listened to the continuous expansion of evacuation orders, the growing list of road closures, more and more neighborhoods underwater. Shelters were reaching capacity as soon as they opened. More stories of loss and more suffering. But now, as the waters start to recede, with roads opening and evacuations being lifted, some of the urgency is waning. The TV cameras and coverage have lessened, and the Hurricane Harvey special reports are back to the regular news hours. But the stories and suffering of thousands of people affected by flooding haven't ended with the urgency of the hurricane. There are families that have no home to return to, nothing to rebuild. And thousands of homes around us are with water damage needing repair, some minor, some extensive. And even those who remained dry and who only experienced it by watching TV still feel that anxiety and that fear of others' experiences. Next, there'll be curbs lining with piles and piles of water-soaked furniture and belongings, bags and bags of soggy sheetrock, ripped-up carpeting, soaked and curling wood floors and cabinets. All the things we know that make a house a home, hauled out to the curb to be taken away as trash. More stories and more suffering. And this morning we hear St. Paul's words, be patient in suffering. Be patient in suffering. Could this be any more counterintuitive for people who are called to help those who are suffering? While we may not be suffering in the same way in this moment, suffering is a chapter of everyone's story, whether it is a flooded home or something else. As I listened to those Texans who were so generous in sharing their stories, I could still feel and hear the trauma that stayed in their bodies, that stayed in their memories, that will probably never leave them. But first of all, we can be patient in suffering because we are not alone in it. We have a God who knows suffering. God came to us in the human body of Jesus, a body that felt mercy and compassion for the suffering of others, a body whose own pain and suffering is palpable to us in the events of Good Friday. God is present with us in our suffering. And God is present in more than our suffering. God is present and working in the world for healing, reconciliation, and wholeness through the body of Christ. And by the grace of God who comes to us in Jesus, we are members in the body of Christ. So St. Paul wrote to the Romans in the reading from last Sunday's lectionary, describing the body of Christ this way: for as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. So that primary function, if you will, for all members is always to persevere in prayer. Prayer is doing something powerful for others and transforming for us. And after prayer, another function may be to contribute to the needs and to extend hospitality to strangers. And perhaps, and hopefully, there will be many of us offering time, talent, and treasures when called upon as the needs of the flood survivors arise. Everyone has gifts to bring to the body of Christ. So we can be patient, knowing there is always work being done to help those who are suffering, as long as there is the body of Christ in the world. There will be plenty to do in the coming weeks and months. And as members in the body of Christ, we now are part of God's story, God's eternal story, the story of Jesus' life, suffering, and death, and the story of God's response, resurrection and ascension. So today we reunite as community to worship and give thanks to God for being with us in suffering, and rejoice in hope, knowing the body of Christ is working in the world by us, with us, in us, and for us, now and forever. And as I saw so many of you doing before the service, I hope you'll continue after the service to share your hurricane stories thus far and listen to the story of others. And as others rejoin and join us in the weeks to come, we'll share together in their stories too. So I'll leave you with a bit of my story. As I said before, Matthew and I headed to Austin, and on Friday afternoon, we headed back to Richmond, leaving Austin by Highway 71. And about 40 minutes or so from Austin, we reached the town of Smithville, where there is a tall sign along the highway to mark the filming of a movie there. I've seen that sign many times before, but on Friday, those big letters of the name of the movie on that particular sign jumped out at me. Hope Floats. Hope Floats. So I pray that you rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer always. Amen.